Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's word is brought by Steve Parker. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
Guess who's... Oh, no. Woo! See, the problem now is I can't say, you know, who's preaching because they're wearing a tie. Look at
them. Hey. Next week, could everybody wear a tie, please?
Yeah. We need to up our game. Steve, you're welcome here.
Thank you
and
very much.
We're ready and waiting for the word.
I got a tie, Mike. Thanks, boss.
Oh, so you have.
Don't want that neutral mic. Right, it's because it's got blue tape on it. Okay, everybody. Electrical tape. Man. Yeah, you got it. You got it. Oh, we need a new pulpit, don't we?
Yeah. Come on.
Should we pray for a new pulpit?
Yeah. No, it's just normal.
Okay, we're not going to pray for a new pulpit. We're just going to buy one. Yeah, glory to God. Woo! So... Right, I'm definitely finishing by 12:15. Not that I got a watch on, but anyway, I'm sure someone will poke me in the eye or something like that. But. Right, can I be cheeky? I got the mic, so I'm going to do a little announcement about our post-Valentine's meal. Names are on the door. We need at least 20 people to come along. So if you're engaged or if you're married, 20 couples. Really? 20 couples? Okay. Wow. All right then, so we need you to come along. We need you to invite your friends. This is something you can invite your friends along to. It's going to be very cozy. Non-church friendly. That's kind of, I'm sure there's a word for it, but I don't know what it is. That'll do for now. So just bring your friends along, okay? Any couples you know who you would love to see coming into this place, it's going to be a fantastic atmosphere. It's going to be filled with God's people and full of love. Love is in the air. You know what I mean? It's going to be really good. It's going to be on the 22nd. I might do, you never know. Serenade everybody. That'll get them going, won't it? Right, okay. Right. Positioned for the things of God. Carrying on our theme of positioning, I'm going to carry on as well from Luke chapter 5. Pastor Shane finished on verse 4, so I'm going to read through from 4 to 11. And let's see where we go. Right. Oh, Angus, sorry, mate. Could we get the scriptures up on the screen? So what you can do is just find them yourself as we're going through, and then there won't be any need for any pauses. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets, and you will catch many fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, we'll try again." And this time the nets were so full they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boats, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the size of the catch, as were the others with him, his partners James and John, the sons of Zebedee. I always want to say boying after that, I don't know why. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. It is such a great passage that I can just imagine, you know, you need to remember, these were just ordinary guys. There he was, Peter, he falls to his knees, he's fall up to who knows where. He's just got fish everywhere. So he's kneeling down in this boatload of fish. You know, the boat is nearly sinking. Calls over his mates. They all come along. The greatest catch of his life. Hiya, Helen. How are you doing? Greatest catch of his life. Prophesy it. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Right. Greatest catch of his life. And then Jesus says, okay, I want you to leave it. You know, that, I mean, this would have been worth a fair little packet, wasn't it? Now, it depends whether his dad was an optimist or a pessimist. I don't know. You know, one side of him would be thinking, okay, who's going to gut this lot of fish? You're just getting up and leaving me straight away. Or if he was an optimist, he'd be thinking, great, this is my pension sorted. Do you know what I mean? All those fish there, fantastic. Okay, safe to say that Peter was ready to go, and he was positioned in the place where Jesus wanted him to be. Yes. You know, as soon as he said, come and follow me, that's it, he just left everything. Biggest catch of his life, left his dad, left his boat, masses of fish, got up, went with Jesus. Yeah. Okay, we're going to have a visual aid time now, Angus. I'm going to ask you to hit the button, and we're just going to use this as a little bit of an illustration. I'm sure some of you will remember this from some time ago. There we go. Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that fun? Thank you very much, Angus. Okay. Good things come to those who wait on the Lord. Yeah, that's right. You got it. Okay. So our surfer dude, he knew a thing or two about being in the right position. Okay, you need to wait. And then when he'd waited, he could see that the time was on its way. Okay, he could see that the wave was coming in. And he knew that he needed to paddle to get himself out there. Now, a wave like that, for you guys who've surfed like me, surfed the net maybe, but that's about it. But when you see a wave like that, you got to know there's nothing you can do to manipulate that wave. You just got to cooperate with it. You got to go with it because it is bigger than you. Okay, you got to be in tune with the wave to get the max out of it. Like those, like the one guy did anyway. The rest of them all wiped out. Okay, I just want to say this morning that there is a wave of God coming. Amen. And we need to be in position to catch it. So a little bit more of that later on. How do we know our position? My question to you would be this. What floats your boat? What are you good at? This often can be an indication as to the thing that God wants you to do, what he's speaking to you about. Take Peter. You think of the significant times that he was with Jesus. A lot of the time, you think about the stories around him when he was in the gospel. He was either floating on the water, walking on the water, sinking in the water, or jumping in the water. Okay, the guy just liked the water. He could fish, yeah? He could bring in a catch. And I believe that God, like he was hinting to him, also hints to us about our position in the body. He said to Peter, I am going to make you a fisher of men. You know, what do we like? What are we good at? Peter, he became a fisher of men. Jesus showed him, even at what he was doing, he could make him better. Yeah. He could make him better. We had the question come to us, didn't we, recently? What does a carpenter know about fishing? It's a bit of revelation time, this is. I'm going to patent this and half price to Elohim members. All right, okay. What we've got to remember, a bit of revelation here, his boat was made out of wood. No carpenter, no boat, no fish. Okay? The position we're in won't float unless the carpenter from Nazareth has carved it for us. Yeah. When Jesus carves your position, you will be good at it. You will be passionate about it. And you will be competent at it. There's always a learning curve with God, okay? When you're starting something new, when you're stepping into something new, there will be a learning curve, sure. But, you know, there's going to be that passion. There's going to be that thing where you are just going to be good at it. You're going to be better than those around you because that is the position that God has got for you, okay? Peter became a man catcher. When you read about the book of Acts, I can't remember Peter ever being in a boat when he was in the book of Acts. Yeah, he was there in the Gospels, but Jesus gave him a new focus and became a fisher of men. We know that Paul ended up in the sea, but, you know, that's a different matter altogether. Right, now, my life, BC, before Christ, that is, I was a Liverpool supporter. I still am, in fact. 5-1 yesterday, come on. 5-1 against Arsenal yesterday. Somebody needs to tweet the Urquharts, you know, the Apostolic Centre there. So have you shared with them, did you? Send them my love, all right. Send them 5 kisses from me, all right. Somebody tweet them, all right. It was an idol I had to lay down eventually, but that's a different story. But at the time, you know, it took my travel, it took my money, and I wore my colours. You know, I was a supporter. That's what I did. You know, I'm a good supporter. You know, and that was a hint at what I am to be in my life. You know, I'm good at supporting. I encourage, cheer people on. You know, it's what I do. You know, and it's a hint to the position that I have in the body of Christ. You know, what does God hint to you about? I mean, our musicians, it's pretty obvious what they're good at. You know, they get up there and they do their thing. You should come along on a Wednesday sometimes. We had a great time this Wednesday going. You know, we were rocking the place. You know, it could have been full. The old place could have been full, and one day it will be. You know what I mean? With all the young kids rocking the place. It's, you know, what a great noise. What a great noise it was. Okay, what is God hinting to you at your position in the body of Christ? Your time and your position will come. It's great that we're talking about seasons this morning because it ties in ever so sweetly like God does. Ecclesiastes 3 verses 1 and 2. There is a time for everything. A season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Which ties in ever so sweetly with Galatians chapter 6. Talking about seasons. Talking about harvest. If we do not give up, there is going to be a harvest. God has times and he has seasons. You know, God is always at work. We know that he never sleeps. He's always doing things. He's always on the ball. He knows exactly what he's doing. Yeah. Sometimes we don't know what he's doing. You know, I'm sure sometimes he just smiles at us. It's okay. It's going to be all right. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. And sometimes you think, oh, why isn't it happening? Why isn't this happening? And you think, it is happening. You don't realize it's all leading up to this. You know, this is the time that it's all been leading up to. I believe that we're coming into a new season of fruitfulness. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We've been in Acts chapter 2 a bit, so I'm going to go to its source material in Joel chapter 2. I was having a good time with God the other week, and he was speaking to me from Joel chapter 2. So that's where we're going. Verse 18 to 27. And I think of this in the context of our church and this body. Then the Lord will pity his people and be indignant for the honor of his land. He will reply, look, I am sending you grain and wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy your needs. You will no longer be an object of mockery among the surrounding nations. I will remove these armies from the north and send them far away. I will drive them back into the parched wastelands where they will die. Those in the rear will go into the Dead Sea, and those in the front will go into the Mediterranean. The stench of their rotting bodies will rise over the land. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, my people. Be glad now and rejoice, because the Lord has done great things. Don't be afraid, you animals of the field. The pastures will soon be green. The trees will again be filled with luscious fruit. The fig trees and grapevines will flourish once more. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for the rains he sends are an expression of his grace. Once more, the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains of the spring. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with wine and olive oil. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the stripping locust, the cutting locust, the swarming locust, and the hopping locust. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. Once again, you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God, who does these miracles for you. Never again will my people be disgraced like this. Then you will know I am here among my people of Israel, and that I alone am the Lord your God. My people will never again be disgraced like this. So a bit of testimony that ties in with this. I'm sure we've all been aware that finances for a lot of people, including myself and Sharon, have been tight over the past few years. You know, it's been a bad few years, what with the recession, etc. And, you know, we tried the old thing, you need to cut back. Quite a good exercise, actually. So you cut back and you cut back and we cut back some more. And again and again. And then you start praying, you start crying out to God, saying, Lord, pour out your blessing on us. You know, that's what you got to do, isn't it? When you got a problem, you cry out to God. Yeah. And so we was crying out to God again and again. And wasn't really getting too much of an answer. And I remember Sharon coming to me saying she came and she'd prayed to God and God had given her a promise. She said, I'm going to bring you into your promised land. Only don't forget me. Okay? It is good. Yeah, we need to remember God. When God pours out his blessings, okay, we need to focus on God and not the blessings that he gives us. And so we got that promise. And guess what? Things got worse. It seemed to get kind of tighter and tighter. We were right up to the edge of our overdraft and credit limit with the wholesalers. I'm a Sparky for those who don't know. And it was kind of, Lord, promised land. Abundance, Lord, abundance. Remember, you said it, Lord. Come on, Lord. And then the crack came. Because good things come to those who wait on the Lord. Excellent. Okay. So I got this kind of big quote come through for this job. Sharon and me, we laid hands on it, and the leaders laid hands on it as well. You probably remember he was up in the little room up there, and we kind of prayed. And the job came in before it should have done. He said, rang up, you got the job, son. So there we were. It was about, say, like a two-week job. Not one cup of tea in the old 2 weeks. It wasn't our job. But it was the beginning of things. And praise God, I want to tell you that the promiser is true. Yes. He never breaks his promise. Yes. You may well be there thinking to yourself, you know, there's some situations in my life I've been crying out to God for them. And God has given you some promises. It is going to happen. It's got to happen. If God has promised you, it has got to happen. And that crack is going to come. And I haven't had to take a day out from then up until now, and that was some good time ago, except by my own choice, okay? So God has kept us fully in work from that point to this, and he's going to as well, because the promiser is true. Good things come to those who wait on the Lord. Excellent. You wait, yeah, that's what you do. I need James to come and drum on my chest. Right, that was good. Right. I'm telling you, God's going to change the season for us. Yes. He's going to destroy the locust army. That was what was afflicting the people of Israel at that time. A great locust army had come along and destroyed everything. Well, God is going to wipe out the locust army. So get your vats and get your silos ready, because God wants to pour out his blessing on us. And which is excellent, because when God pours it out, like Pastor Shane was saying in the prayer meeting, what he does for a reason. Okay? So if he's pouring out blessings upon us, here we are building this pillar of generosity. He doesn't just give you things to enjoy all for yourselves. He wants us to be a generous people. That's been coming through this morning, hasn't it? You know, I just want to emphasize that as well. God loves it when we're generous. So what we need to do is to practice it when we've only got £1. And then it's going to be a whole lot easier when we've got 1,000. What was it? What was it Rockefeller said, or something like, if you can't give it away when you've only got a dollar, you'll never be able to give it away when you've got a million. Was it something like that? Okay. Romans 12:8 from the Truth Version. Others are called to give financially to help others, and they should give generously. You know, is that your position in the church? Are you the kind of person that knows God is calling them to be able to give generously? You know, it's an actual calling. It's one of the gifts that God gives to the body of Christ. And let's be honest, the body of Christ needs it. Yeah. You know, we need more and more people who can give generously. That is a cool calling. Yes. I know some of you are walking it already, you know, because I've been on the receiving end of it. You know, there's people here that are just generous, you know. Yeah. And it's a great example to us, and we need to aspire to it and walk in it as well. So that's my question. Is God calling you to that position? And the more God blesses us, the more generous we can be. Like I say, you can do a lot more with a million than you can with a pound. All right? Yeah? Amen. Practice sowing with your little, and you'll be able to do it with the lot. Right, now, phase two. You ready for phase two? All right, Joel chapter 2, 28 through to 32. I'm going to close my Bible. That was such a good idea. That's why we need that new pulpit. We'll have to then. Right. Then, after I have poured out my reins again, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days I will pour out my spirit, even on servants, men and women alike. I will cause wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Literal translation is mushrooms of smoke. But anyway, the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon will be turned blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Excellent. Okay, so God is going to pour out his spirit on all people. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm reading through that, sons and daughters, anybody here a son and a daughter? That's pretty much everybody, isn't it? Okay. Young and old. Anybody here young?
Yes.
I'm not going to ask the next question. Okay. You're going to pour them out on men. Is anybody here a man?
Yes.
Anybody here a woman?
Yes.
Come on, girls. All right. There's no exception. Some people think that God can't use women in a church. I don't know what they're talking about, man. That's half of the army. What are they doing? You know, this is the last days. You know, God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. You're made out of flesh, girls, aren't you?
Yeah.
Sharon is anyway. I know that much. Okay. No, I'm not going to. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So nobody is exempt from God pouring out his spirit upon you. God is not going to make a special exception for you. Okay, God wants to pour out his spirit on all flesh.
Yes.
How good is that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It is awesome. Okay, because God wants to fill this place.
Yeah.
All right, and that place over there.
Yeah.
And Bri, that 400 you keep talking about, mate. This and that place won't fit 400 people in it, will it?
We've got three services a
day. Yes, that's true. Okay, Bri's prophesying three services a day, everybody. Woo! There's a wave coming. We wait. Yeah, that's what we do. Okay, we're looking for it. We're getting in position for the wave of God that is going to come. It is going to come. Tick, follow, talk, follow, tick, follow, talk. It's coming. It's on its way, okay? There is a wave of God. Nothing is going to stop it, and it is going to be the absolute ride of our life. We're going to see salvation. We're going to see dreams. We're going to see signs. We're going to see wonders. We're going to see miracles, and it will be wild. Just like on the advert that we saw there, that was a pretty wild wave, wasn't it? With those wild horses, you know? It was totally untamed and wild, and it was something that you had to just get in and just ride and hold on for dear life, yeah? Stick to that board like glue. God wants us to be ready, and he wants us to be in position for the thing that God is going to do. Does it excite you? Does it ignite something in you? Does your faith kind of rise inside you? God wants to pour out his spirit. When God does something, he never does it in a small way. He always does it in a big way. You know, the expectations that we have of God, what we should do is just expect it and then times it by 10 and we might be getting somewhere near to what God wants to do. Can you hear it coming? You know, when you see a wave like that, you can hear it roaring in the distance, can you? Can you hear it roaring from the distance that God is going to do something massive and something great? Good things come to those who wait upon the Lord. Hashtag exciting times, Pastor Shane. Okay. It's no coincidence that things are happening in the church the way that they are. Okay. God is setting things in order. It's what he does. God is a great strategist. Okay. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. You'll like this one, Pastor. You like this one. Pastor Lynn, yeah, I think Pastor Shane's going to like it as well. But from the tribe of Issachar, is that how you say it? That's how I say it anyway. Issachar, Issachar, I'm the preacher. Okay. from the tribe of Issachar. There were 200 leaders of the tribes with their relatives. All these men understood the temper of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. So when it says temper there, it's not talking about the Incredible Hulk, all right. It's talking about the seasons and the times. They knew the seasons and the times, all right. The time or the season. That's what the temper means. Now, we have pastors who understand the times. We have pastors that understand the times. Come on, people. Get with it, man. Blimey, Charlie. All right, I believe it's significant what is happening at the moment. This year, you know, this year is a whole time of change. If you like, it is a change of season. Yes, it's significant. It's significant that Connect has launched this year. God is putting people in position for a reason. You know, it's a funny thing that there is often a leadership change when the season changes. It's just the way God does things. If you think about it, is there a precedent for it in the Bible? Well, yes, there is. We think about Moses, how he led the people through the wilderness. You know, he established a nation, set the laws in place, got the people thinking the way that God wanted them to think, got them living the way that God wanted them to live. Sometimes it was a little bit tricky for him, but they got there. And then Joshua, he was the one to lead them into the promised land. God said to Moses, no, you're not going to do it. It's time for Joshua to lead them into the promised land. Pastor Lynn, you're all right. God's not going to bury you at the top of the mountain. He was 120 years old, so that leaves you with what? About 70 years left or something like that, was it? Whee! Excellent. All right. It seems that different seasons often have different leaders. Like David, he was a warrior king. He wanted to build a temple for God. And God said, no, you're my warrior. You know, he was fighting God's war. Some people say that, well, shed a lot of blood. He wasn't allowed to do it. And they see it as a negative thing. But what we've got to remember, he was fighting God's wars. That was his job. You know, he was establishing God's kingdom. And, you know, lots of people were coming against him. And he had to build that kingdom. And often he had to do it through warfare. He said, your son Solomon, he's going to be the one that builds the temple for me. So Solomon was the builder. It was a different season. Went from warfare to a building time. Peter, he was the guy who spoke to the Jews, the apostle to the Jews. Paul, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Different man for different seasons, etc. That was their position in the kingdom of God. You know, we have positions that we must take up. Pastor Lynn and her leaders, they've built foundations, built the church, pushed back the enemy, and obtained the promises that we're going to see fulfilled. Amen. And we salute you, Pastor. We salute your leaders. You know, you've done a... Absolutely. I'm coming to that. It's all right. Yeah. And you will see your dreams come true. All right. Excellent. Now another leader, Pastor Shane, is arising into position. God has positioned him for this time. You know, it doesn't mean that God has favorites at all. That's not the way God thinks. God doesn't have those kind of thoughts, you know. We need to wash our minds out if we think like that. That's just not the way that it is, all right? God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. The reward we're going to get is, did we do the thing that God positioned us for? The reward that we're going to get is, did we do the thing that God has positioned us for? Okay. Right, I mean, we could say that Peter saw more people saved than Jesus. It's just a silly argument, isn't it? It's a silly argument. You know, we're believing for greater numbers. Of course we are, yeah. We're believing for 400, Brian, aren't we? Yes. As a footstool. Right, we should write a song about that. Anyway, God's got a strategy, and we just have to go with it. Like we did with a wave. It's all right, Matt. Chill. You don't really have to do that, right? Okay. Okay. No. No. Don't go there. Right. Something Liverpool? No. Anyway. There you go. All right, stop it now, everybody. Stop it, stop it. Okay. So in a way, we got to watch for the wave, yeah? We've got to watch for the wave. But in a way, we also need to watch for Pastor Shane's lead too. Okay? We go when he does, because I'm sure, as we know by now, because we've had so much teaching on it, God has his order, and direction comes from the top down, comes to the leader, and then we move when we see our pastor move, because God has spoken to our pastor. So we're all going to be jumping on your surfboard, Pastor Shane. It's going to be a big surfboard. Okay. Good things come to those pastors who wait upon the Lord. Okay. We're not going to wipe out. No, we're going to ride the wave. We need to be an Issachar type of people that can discern the temper of the times. Right. Just as the promised land looked different to the wilderness and worked different, for instance, they used to live on manna. That all stopped. As soon as they got in the promised land, it stopped. No more pillar of fire. It stopped. Okay? Things worked and looked different in a new season. And we mustn't fear change.
No, that's right.
We often fear change, don't we? But we need to make sure that we don't. It's easy to fear change because you kind of get a little bit nervous, a little bit apprehensive. But change, as Pastor Colin says, is here to stay. Position our brain for change. Position our brain for change. You know, if you're fearing the leadership transition, change your position. God is in control. Anyone familiar with the saying, they crossed the Rubicon? Stick your hand up if you've heard that saying before. Crossed the Rubicon. Nobody ever heard of the saying, they crossed the Rubicon. Good grief. Okay. Well, it's very similar to they crossed the point of no return. Crossed the point of no return. I'm going to have to give you a history lesson, I can see. Okay. So Rubicon is actually, or Rubiconi, it's a river in Italy. Does nobody here speak Italian? Man alive, what's we ever... Right. Okay, so it's actually a river in Italy. Now, it was a capital offence back in ancient Rome to cross the Rubicone River with an army. But Julius Caesar, I'm sure you all know this already, Julius Caesar in 49 BC crossed the river with an army. And yet, it was a capital offence. But what he was doing, as soon as you crossed that river, the Rubicon River, that was it. That was, like I say, it was a capital offence. But everybody knew, hey, he's coming to take over. So it was a Senate at one point, but then began the reign of the Caesars. He became the first Caesar of the Roman Empire. Overthrew the Senate. Okay, so for one, what I'm saying is this. I'm one who's going to cross the Rubicon in support of God's man, Pastor Shane. No turning back. The point going to be past the point of no return. All in favour, say, I'm crossing the Rubicon.
I'm crossing the Rubicon.
Stand up and say it.
I'm crossing the Rubicon.
Shout out Rubicon to me.
Rubicon.
Shout it out again.
Rubicon.
Give me five. Give me five. All right, Rubicon. Rubicon. Say Rubicon, Brian.
Rubicon.
Shout out Rubicon, everybody.
Rubicon!
Shout out Rubicon, share!
Rubicon.
Shout out Rubicon, everybody!
Rubicon!
Give me five. Thank you very much. All right. All right, back. Right, okay, you can sit down again now. Okay, so we've got to get past the point of no return and say, look, this is happening. In September, this is happening, everybody. You know, absolutely. You know, you can drift into things sometimes, can't you? You know, if you're laid back like me, drifting along, you know, drifting along. And then suddenly you find yourself somewhere, okay? But what we've got to realize is this is happening. We're past the point of no return. We're going to give it all of our support because that's the way God wants it to be. I encourage you to position yourself behind the leadership always. I'm not saying that you don't, because this is a very good church for doing that. But if there is anything in the back of your mind, sort it out, reposition yourself. Okay. Now, biblically, I could command you to do that. Ooh, yeah. The people said to Joshua, anybody who does not obey you will be put to death. Wow. That's quite something, isn't it? It's quite something. Now let's bring that into a new covenant. A new covenant context. All right. There's something in you that will die spiritually if you can't position yourself behind God's man or God's woman. And who would want that? Nobody with any good sense. Listen to a definition of crossing a Rubicon. You need to Google this when you go home, okay? It refers to an individual, or a G word that I'm not allowed to say, committing itself irrevocably to a risky or a revolutionary course of action. That kind of sounds a little bit exciting, doesn't it?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, because we're not into democracy here. We can overthrow the Senate. We've got to just do what God is telling us to do, all right? We're a theocracy, aren't we? We're the church. Okay. God has got more for us. Don't get used to a life outside the promised land. Just because it's comfortable, just because it seems nice, we mustn't get used to a life outside the promised land, as did the 2.5 tribes. Yeah. There was the 2.5 tribes. They said, okay, we're going to take the promised land, and these guys are already settled, got their herds, and they're kind of, Moses, all right, we stay over here. You know, it's kind of nice for our pasture land and our cows and our sheep. And then one rebuke later, turned them into a bunch of leaders. Moses rebuked him. He said, you think you're going to stay over here whilst the rest of us go and fight over there? I said, we're going to go first. We're going to go first. Excellent. So they were the ones to see the Jordan River stopping. The first ones to see. They were the ones to see the priests going into the water. They became the leaders. One rebuke later. So it's good to get a rebuke now and again. It gets you going, doesn't it? You get first in the battle. All right. Are you up for one more challenge? Oh, good. Right. How will positioning for the promised land affect us personally? It's a good question, isn't it? It's a good question. How will it affect me personally? Gerard Cooper, I heard him speaking on this. How did it affect the Israelites? Imagine the scene. Who's up for taking the promised land? I can imagine more. Yeah, take the promised land. Yeah. Who's up for consecration? Who's up? Pastor Lee knows what's coming now. Who's up for renewing the covenant? Okay, lads, time to step forward. Circumcision time. And everything goes deathly quiet. Over the next few days, all you can hear around the camp is, Father Abraham, that stings. The wives didn't have to pretend to be asleep when they came into the tent at night time. Not for a good while. They didn't have to pretend to have a headache. Do you know what I mean? There was none of that going on. Okay. The point being, a move of God is costly to the flesh life.
Yes.
Right, the selfish things that we want. All right, a move of God can be very costly to that. Circumcision is a very personal thing when you're the next one in line. Don't try and imagine the scene too much, but do you know what I mean, lads? You know, you're there and they got the flint knives ready. You think, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. But anyway, you know, where am I going? Right. It's not dignified at all right? So when a move of God comes, oftentimes it's not going to be very dignified to our flesh. All right, there are things that we are going to have to just loose, all right, and let go. Michelle, would you behave yourself, all right? We need to let God deal with us in a personal way, all right? But the reward of the promised land far outweighs the temporary pain. Okay, the reward of the promised land far outweighs any cost that we might have to our flesh. Good. Say that again, Hazel.
That's right, and that's good.
No pain, no gain. All right. You know, are there things that God is on your case about?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in that case, you're going to need to cut it off.
That's right.
And then the blessings will flow. It's good. We've got one honest person in the building. Okay. I think I'm about done, actually, apart from... Am I going to wrap this up now? All right. I think we need to get into an atmosphere of prayer. You best close your eyes, I think. All right. All right, maybe there's some things that you feel, I am just in that place at the moment. Perhaps you're in that place and you're saying to yourself, I could really use a breakthrough. I've got some promises of God over my life. And things are a bit extreme. Things seem kind of really kind of pressing in on me. And I need that breakthrough. You know, God, if God has promised it, it's going to happen for you. All right, so that's the first thing. And then the second thing, position. Perhaps you think to yourself, I believe God is starting to hint to me, or I believe that God is saying, you know, this is going to be my position where I feel God is speaking to me about. And perhaps you'd want some clarity and some prayer and a bit of wisdom about that. So what we're going to do, I'm going to call people forward for those couple of things. And for the second one, for your position, I would be right, the pastor's prayed for, if you've got, say, like something where you believe God is calling you into a position, I'd like the pastor to pray for you about that. All right? If you're saying, I need a breakthrough, I'm desperate to see this promise of God come through in my life, I want to pray for you for that. And the third one, if you're struggling with the idea of change and transition, and you want to shift your mind position, or you just want someone to stand in prayer with you about that, then I want to pray with you about that as well. Okay? So I'm going to ask the band to come and play something kind of quietly, just as we get into an atmosphere of prayer. So let's just bow our heads and commit the time to God. And Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord God, for all the things that you have called us into. I want to thank you, Lord, that you have brought us to this place, Lord, for such a time as this. I want to thank you, Lord, that you've got your spirit inside us and you're hinting about the things, Lord, that you want to do with us. I thank you, Lord God, that we can see the seasons are beginning to change. I want to thank you, Lord, for that wave of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that is just going to hit. Our lives are going to hit this place, that is going to hit this village, Lord, is going to hit this country. Father, we want to be ready. We want to be in position, Lord God. We want to be in the place where you want us to be. And so, God, I pray that, you just do things within our lives. Even now, Lord God, just establish things. Get us in that right position, Lord. Set our minds, Lord God, into the right place. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're there and you're thinking to yourself, please do. Pray for me for breakthrough. I'd like you to come forward. And if you're saying, I believe God is speaking to me about position, you come forward. And if you're struggling with the old idea of change and you want to be able to shift your mind position, we want to be able to pray with you so that you can get into that new place. So if that's you, come forward. And if not, we'll just finish with prayer and we're going to have a communion time together.